This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying an acupuncture treatment to improve your sleep and help you manage discomfort? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of a brand new program here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan called Joining the Dots. I'm Julie Kissick and I'm bringing you a show about connection, community, charity and conversation, the things that bring us together as human beings. At 5 o'clock every Monday evening, I'll be with you with a mixture of inspirational guests, interesting discussions, and I hope they'll encourage all of us to work together, to reach out to one another, and to be a bit more aware of the importance of connection. And across the hour, we'll be finding out about some of the initiatives and events that are taking place in South East Wales and sometimes beyond. So if you're a charity or an organisation or even an individual with something to share or an event that you'd like us to publicise, do feel free to get in touch with me via email at joiningthedots, that's all one word, at radioglamorgan.com. So what's coming up on the show today, I hear you ask? Well, we're going to talk about mediation and conflict resolution and find out how an organisation in South East Wales could help you if you need it.
Sometimes people don't realise the impact of their behaviour may have on others.
It's the start of Eating Disorder Awareness Week. More than 62,500 people in Wales are affected by eating disorders. But the message from the charity Beat Eating Disorders is that community and working together is vital.
As we work across the UK, our nation's team works with the different governments in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and England to improve policy to protect and support those affected by eating disorders.
And we'll find out about the impact on charity shops as more people are using online selling sites rather than donating their unwanted items.
The older generation are very used to donating goods that they don't need. The younger generation are now more au fait with trying to sell it on Vinted and eBay.
Hospital Radio Glamorgan.
Disputes, we all have them, but sometimes they get out of hand and they leave us unable to resolve them ourselves. Did you know that there's a charity in South East Wales that's been helping people solve disputes since 1998? Mediation in Wales works with people across Wales to help resolve disputes which, if left to fester, can impact relationships, health and financial well-being. Lynn Hughes-Williams is Service Development Manager for the charity.
We offer mediation services for when people are in conflict, neighbour conflict, for example. Or maybe you have intergenerational issues. Perhaps there's younger children or young adults living with grandparents and there's intergenerational differences. And we can help with that because we are impartial. We don't make any judgments and we help you communicate. We facilitate opening conversations and help you find a way forward that suits you both or the family.
What sort of examples have you had recently where people perhaps would have used your services because they're just not able to resolve the differences that they've got or the conflicts that they're experiencing without support?
A lot of them are generally neighbour disputes where perhaps they've fallen out because of loud music, even over bins or parking. And what happens? Because they've forgotten how to communicate then. You know, there's been offensive language used and they feel it's gone beyond the point where they can have a normal conversation. They don't feel able to knock on the door and speak to their neighbour. And so they then come to us and that's where we can help them to give them the opportunity to start talking again. And we provide a safe environment for them where they feel safe and able to talk to one another and explore ways of getting back to perhaps where they were.
And the kinds of conflicts that may be particularly apparent to people might well be family disputes, or there might well be friends that have fallen out that maybe have a long-standing desire to perhaps get back to where they were, or at least to be able to be civil to one another. If there are people who are thinking, to get myself back on track and my relationships back on track, what would be the process that they'd need to follow in order to get involved with your charity?
Well, firstly, they could just pick up the phone. The details are on our website, which is www.mediationinwales.org. You can make a simple phone call to us and we can talk through it and take it forward from there.
But if there were two parties who were interested in finding out more, what would the process be once they've made the phone call or sent you an email, for example?
The process is voluntary, and so it is important that both parties are willing to take part in the process of mediation. And once you've both agreed to that, then we can speak to you in more detail, really, to find out what has gone on. And then we would arrange a neutral venue where you would meet, and the conversation would be facilitated by a mediator, allowing each party to speak in a respectful manner and not to talk over one another. And once that dialogue begins, people do start talking once again. Once they start to understand what's been going on, why they've been feeling the way they have, and understanding one another's positions, really. And that would help to move forward to an agreement where perhaps people will stop doing what they were doing.
So if there was a neighbourhood dispute over something like loud music, for example, or you made reference to the bins or people parking inappropriately or without consideration for others, and it escalated to a point where two parties involved were in conflict verbally, for example, but they were in agreement that they wanted to resolve it, is the mediator then a bit like a referee? If you're in this neutral venue and your both parties are there with the mediator, how does the mediator sort of run things?
So we explained to you that we are impartial and that you will both have opportunities to speak freely without interruption, where you listen to one another, and we then help a dialogue to begin between you both. And so you start exploring solutions of how you can move forward and how you can communicate going forward.
So it's almost like putting a plan in place, I take it, is it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it might be that you don't agree that you will become friends again, but that's okay. It can be that you will agree to be civil to one another. You don't have to be the best of friends as perhaps you once were, but it's about mutual respect and kindness and showing a human side, really, so that everyone can live, in simple terms, be a good neighbour.
You have that agreement that you won't be disrespectful, and as you say, you're not necessarily going to have the relationship that you had previously, but we all know with things like bad neighbours or bad family relationships, what tends to happen is it makes people anxious and it makes people avoidant. And generally, it can affect things like your well-being and your mental health. So it's in everybody's interest to resolve them amicably, where at least everyone is in a position where they perhaps don't have that anxiety or don't have that feeling of dread if another person is in their sphere, if you like.
That's right. It does affect people's mental health and well-being. And sometimes people don't realise the impact of their behaviour may have on others. And that's why meeting face to face, you know, in a safe environment provided by the mediators is so important, and it can help bring resolution and bring peace back into the neighbourhood, because not only can it affect your neighbours directly or your next door neighbour, there are other neighbours that can be affected in the community as well, and it does have a ripple effect. And so that's the power of mediation, really, that helps bring it back into focus, you know, a human nature of being kind and respectful.
And a reminder that if you'd like to talk to someone about conflict resolution, you can call the team on 01633 858 441, or email admin@mediationinwales.org. And did you know that it's Fix It February? Repair Cafe Wales is a registered charity that supports pop-up events held on regular dates, where the local community can get their broken household items repaired for free by volunteers. It's a social way to combat the general frustration with wasted materials, resources, and a loss of skills. Repair Cafe volunteers fix a whole range of items, from clothes to household electrics to toys and furniture. Phoebe Brown is the charity's director.
So they started back in 2018 with just one in Cardiff, just as an aim to do something good in the community, and something to help people stop throwing away their items. And then we had lots of people kind of hearing about the concept and travelling to Cardiff to come and get their items fixed. And we kind of realised that the environmental good of people getting their items fixed was negated by people travelling across Wales for this initiative. So we started setting them up in other communities, and it just grew from there, really. So now we have them across the whole country in 134 spaces. Can bring anything. Yeah, we get all kinds of items in, from sort of household electricals, textiles, toys, and people can come in and have them fixed completely for free by really talented volunteers. So we really want to see more people repairing. We think these spaces are brilliant, but often the challenge is that people don't know that they've got them in their community. They're all across the UK as well. Wales has 134 spaces, but there's hundreds of these repair cafes across the whole UK. So with Fix It Feb, we're just aiming to raise a bit of awareness of these spaces. We want everyone to be engaging with repair, and we're challenging people to fix just one thing throughout the month of February.
And there are repair cafes across Wales, as you heard, and there are 12 in Cardiff alone, including one in Canton, Tremorpha, Llanicion and Robina. So if you want to be more environmentally sound and you want a chance to chat with some new people in your community, do check out repaircafewales.org. That's the website where you'll find a full list of the locations that host the cafes and a list of when the events are happening.
Need a little pick-me-up? Hospital Radio Glamorgan is the sweet treat for your ears. A delicious blend of music and good company, guaranteed to satisfy.
You're listening to Joining the Dots. I'm Julie Kissick, and if you're a regular around these airwaves, you may well know me from a show I do on a Friday evening. It's called All About Sport. It's on at 6 o'clock, and in it we focus on Wales in terms of international rugby and football, Cardiff City, Newport County, Cardiff and Dragons. And sometimes I have work produced by students I teach at the University of South Wales on the show too. So if sport is your thing, do join me on a Friday evening. I'd love to have your company. But I guess it might be interesting to find out why this new show, Joining the Dots, has come about and what I'm hoping we'll achieve with it. Well, it's really about finding ways to connect. It's that simple. But we all know that it can be, and often is, more complicated than that. I've got some really special guests lined up over the next few weeks, and I do hope you'll give the show a try, either live at 5 on a Monday or on our Rewind catch-up service. And I'd really like to hear from you. What sort of voices would you like to hear? And do get in touch via the email, which is joiningthedots@radioglamorgan.com. Let's make this an appointment to listen, to connect, and a space to benefit from on a regular basis. I'm Julie Kissick, and we're sticking with the reuse recycle theme because we're going to hear from Dean Harvey. He's the store manager of the Salvation Army Donation Centre in Colchester Avenue in Cardiff. Salvation Army donation centres are all about community and affordability, and each centre has a similar look and feel, and they all offer a large shopping area with furniture, homeware, fashion and electricals, and they also reuse and repurpose locally. The focus, though, is on community, and that's what makes each donation centre special to the people it serves. Second year media, culture and journalism student at the University of South Wales, Rosie Clay, went along to the centre to see for herself how it operated. And she spoke to Dean about its function and the challenges that it's facing, along with many other charity shops, in an age of selling sites like eBay and Vinted.
It's strange, I think, because with the likes of Vinted and eBay and bits like that, the older generation are very used to donating goods that they don't need. The younger generation are now more au fait with trying to sell it on Vinted and eBay. So things could become a struggle as the population moves on and changes in age. But thrifting's cool. Thrifting's the cool thing to do at the moment. So we are seeing a rise in younger people coming in and shopping with us. And then in turn, they'll donate to us. So I think we can keep it going and keep the chain going for a very long time.
So have you seen like a reduction in footfalls? Because you know the stores in town may have more people maybe. Like, is that an issue here? Is your kind of out the way?
It's nice being an out-of-town shop because we're a destination point more than a just walk past the window point, which is what a lot of town is. You go to town to go to town and then you pop in a shop that you might fancy. If you come in here, you specifically drive here either to donate or to shop. So I think that's why we are a lot busier. And people now know, kind of getting to know that we're here. They still don't quite know where we are in Cardiff, but we're trying to increase that via social media. But if they come here, they're coming for a reason, and it's either to buy or to donate, and that's what we need them to keep doing.
So have you noticed a shift in the customers' habits, like of more people coming and buying stuff in order to sell on?
Yeah. So you always see, a few groups of customers. So you open the doors in the morning, your resellers are there, 100%. We know them, we speak to them, you know, we're honest with them. The resellers come in that we know, and they buy up bits to resell. It's fine, it keeps the chain going. You'll get others coming in who, because we always work, like I say, our mantra is to be low prices. We feed Vinted almost with some clothes, because there's some good clothes out there. We're only charging £3, or I'm sure people can go and get a lot more out of there online. You know, I watch a lot of the YouTube videos and about carpeting and all this type of stuff. So the fact we are so cheap means we do feed Vinted and we do feed eBay. So I'm not worried about us going out of business because of that fact, because people know they can come here and buy stuff for that reason.
So how does it make you feel though when people are buying stock at cheaper prices and reselling it?
It's my job to sell stuff in the shop. We price it accordingly. You know, if something does have a bit of value, then we will mark it up accordingly. We won't put it at its full potential and value, because then they won't, the resellers won't buy it, because they won't make any money on it. So we will always undercut it by, we'll charge a third of the price sometimes to make sure it goes. But you've got to take the emotion out of it working in a charity shop. You know, I'm very passionate about certain things, you know, comic books and toys, and that's my thing. But you've got to take the passion out of it to resell it, because my job is to sell and make money for the charity.
Because it's hard, because people are still buying, so you can't be...
This is it.
You can't be mad. It's by a critic.
Yeah, it's really hard. You see something, go, that was mega cheap, that. But it might be mega cheap. They'll go make some money on it, fine. We've sold it, which is great. It's not stuck in the back, you know, the back office or on the shop floor. It's gone now, so we can keep churning over. Because when you take 5 tons of stuff a week, you have to keep churning over, otherwise you'll grind to a halt, because it'll just be backlogged with everything.
Do you think it's going to impact people that rely on charity shops, as there are so many being closed down and moving out of towns? Like, will that impact the customers that need the cheap prices?
Possibly. When the high streets go, it's difficult for people because the high streets are normally the most accessible places to go to. And I say we're a bit out of the way here. We're not a million miles from a main road, but you've got to get a bus or a car here, really, unless you live in a local area. But the high streets will definitely affect people. The fact we're here is still good, and we're going to be here for a long time, so we'll still be here providing the service for those customers. I think charity shops will keep growing. The way of the world at the moment, no one's got as much free cash anymore. So the stigma around charity shops is gone, long gone. You know, thrifting's cool, like I said, and they're cool places to be, and you can pick up some really good stuff here. You just have to, like I say, once you lose the stigma of, oh, I'm in a charity shop, and walk in and go, wow, do you know what, there's some good stuff here, you'll pick up some bargains and save yourself some money. So we'll keep, I'm positive we'll keep flourishing and, you know, expanding as much as we can in the Salvation Army.
Do you think people selling on Lochain, because they're selling higher quality stuff online because they know they can get money, do you think that's decreased the quality of the donations you're getting? Like, are you having to get rid of a lot and not sell it?
No, but clothing's very difficult. So you would have seen today that they were fishing through donations and they're not of the best quality. Now, we always try and put the best quality out at the cheapest prices, again, to just to benefit all our customers. So with every selling online, sometimes the better stuff goes on there and doesn't get donated. And like I say, with the shift in generations come in, you might find that's why Vinted's, yeah, it's easy to list on Vinted. You take a picture and within 2 minutes you've listed that item. You've then got to store the item is the problem. It might not sell for 6 months. And then someone will send you a silly offer. So there's still a lot of work if you are going to sell on Vinted. So those higher items are still harder to sell than just donating it to a charity shop. So it depends how much time you've got to be a seller, because it takes a lot of time to be a seller.
My thanks to Rosie for that interview with Dean. It certainly offered food for thought. And Dean's message that thrifting is cool is certainly an important one for younger people to take away with them. Now, today marks the start of Eating Disorders Awareness Week, a time when many organisations and charities who support individuals, as well as their families and friends who are affected by eating disorders. BEAT is one of the best known, and every year at this time, it joins forces with policymakers, politicians and others to highlight the issues that are facing those with eating disorders. This year, the theme is community and working together to raise awareness, to lobby for better support and to encourage people to raise funds to safeguard the provision of vital support.
We're BEAT, the UK's eating disorder charity.
We offer support for those affected by eating disorders personally, as well as for those supporting a loved one affected too.
With over 1.25 million people in the UK struggling with an eating disorder, you probably know somebody affected.
We not only work with people affected by eating disorders, but we also help to spread awareness and educate others to make sure that they can be detected early and so that the people struggling can be supported by their community.
If you need eating disorder help for you or someone you know, our helpline can signpost you to the support you need. Our helpline advisors can help you via phone, email, one-to-one web chat, letter or through DM on our social media, Monday to Friday, 3 to 8pm.
We're on 5 weekly online support groups for those affected by eating disorders. These inclusive spaces encourage you towards recovery by talking through different topics and offering space to ask questions.
Our website is packed with helpful information about eating disorders and how to get the support that you need. You can join our online support groups, explore the services that we offer, or use our Help Finder tool to find support in your local area.
And we have a bunch of free resources that you can download or order. Resource packs to posters. You can spread awareness for eating disorders wherever you are.
I've dedicated training for workplaces, schools, universities and professionals. And in the past, we've covered ARFID, autism and eating disorders, and coping with celebrations.
As we work across the UK, our nation's team works with the different governments in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and England to improve policy to protect and support those affected by eating disorders.
We've done some amazing things to help spread awareness of eating disorders. If you saw the last season of Heartstopper, you might have seen our website feature. We also work with the media to help bust harmful stereotypes and myths and make sure that eating disorders are reported on sensitively.
We couldn't do all of this without our incredible fundraisers, who take on epic challenges to help us fund all of the services that we offer. From marathons to bake sales, talkathons to hikes, selling crafts to Cold War sewing, we're so proud and thankful of everyone who decides to fundraise for us.
You can find out more about what we're up to on our website, across our socials, and in our monthly newsletter.
And remember, you're never alone. If you need support for an eating disorder, we're here for you, because we're Beat, the UK's eating disorder charity.
Hi, I'm Ellie, and I took part in Beat's Together Challenge last year. Me and my mum hosted a local fundraiser at our pub to spread awareness and raise donations for Beat. What made it so special was that everyone came together from different ages and backgrounds to learn more about what Beat does and also about eating disorders. On the day, we raised over £800 to our raffle and also through our Just Giving Link. If you're thinking about Together this year, I really recommend it. This year's theme is community, and it brings people together to spread awareness and raise money for such a good cause.
And from Friday, there's going to be a different way to listen to Hospital Radio Glamorgan. All will be revealed later this week, so do keep tuned to the station and keep your eyes on our socials, because this is all very exciting. I'm going to leave you on that cliffhanger, I'm afraid. Thanks for your company wherever and whenever you're listening. Do check out the programme page on Hospital Radio Glamorgan's website for details of the charities and organisations I've featured today. And do drop me an email at joininthedots@radioglamorgan.org if you've got an event that you want to share or a story you'd like me to tell.